It's melodrama season in Wallace, Idaho, and let's pay attention to what the 6th Street Melodrama is doing. First, we'll have time with three folks involved with that. The first is Cindy Bentley, who is directing the play which opens tonight called Bad Business at the Brewery, or Who Botched Bessie's Brew. Let's hear from Cindy Bentley.
In the summer, we are a melodrama, and then during the winter, during the fall, winter, and spring, we do regular plays.
The melodramas you do, is there kind of an endless source of melodramas that you can find, or do you write most of your own, or where do you get the material?
Well, the melodrama that I'm doing this summer was written by Cheryl Grounds, and I'm kind of reviving it. So I'm bringing back an old melodrama from the beginning days. But it's so old that it's new again.
But it was written for Sixth Street Melodrama?
Yes.
Originally. Is there one standard plot to a melodrama? Is it kind of a formula, and then you just have to get the right action put into it, or is it broader than that?
Most melodramas involve a villain, a heroine, and a hero. So every melodrama has a problem that a bad guy is causing, and usually a heroine who is the victim of the problem that the villain is doing, and then a hero that saves the day.
Now, out of all these melodramas you've done all these years, has it always been the same gender for all of these three characters?
Not always. A melodrama that I directed 13 years ago had a female hero and a guy that was having trouble, but that wasn't the way it was written. That's just the way I did it.
That's fun. Now, we don't want you to give away too many secrets, but what do you want to tell us about Bad Business at the Brewery, or Who Botched Bessie's Brew?
It's about a family-run brewery, and the villain wants the property for another purpose, and so he's sabotaging the brewery mix. So, other than that, I really can't tell you much more, or it'll ruin it for you.
We don't want that. And are most of the melodramas two-act with an intermission?
No. Well, my melodrama that I'm directing for July is actually one act with an intermission and then a vaudeville-type review afterwards with singing and dancing and bad jokes. And so we usually have a one act play and then a 15 minute intermission and then a vaudeville style show afterward.
So of you people who have been doing this for a while, been really involved with Sixth Street Theater, do you have a pretty good core of people who act in most plays, or just you can always draw on for all your characters?
Not as much as we used to. With the population in the Silver Valley dropping, we don't have as many adult actors as we used to have. Now we have a lot more younger actors.
So has that encouraged the drama departments there in Wallace and Kellogg to be supplying you with some well-trained kids?
Well, it certainly has encouraged the Kellogg Drama Department, since Paul Roberts, the president of the Sixth Street Theater, is the drama teacher in Kellogg. Wallace right now doesn't have a drama department, but we still have Wallace kids who are interested in theater who get an opportunity to act.
Now, in the history of Sixth Street Theater, you've had two different locations, haven't you?
Yes. But this one has been here quite a while now. It was done at multiple locations prior to that. And before even the Sixth Street Theater was formed in 1983, the Silver Valley had another theater, Silver Valley Theater Company, that later merged into the Sixth Street Theater.
And the theater that you have, what was it before before it was a theater?
Long time before, it was a paint store in the main part of the theater, and then upstairs was a brothel.
Of course. And was it pretty hard to convert it into a theater? Has it worked out pretty well?
It has worked out very well. Yeah, we actually lowered the floor to create the slope in the theater. So if you go down in the basement, you have to duck to get to to get to parts of the basement because they actually lowered the floor down to create the slope. And the theater and the lobby are on the same level.
What's the cumulative result of decades of theater there? Has it given a good core to the town, even through hard times and everything else?
I think so. The theater, the depot museum, the mining museum, and the mine tour, the Sierra Silver mine tour, they all are kind of tourist kind of businesses that have really helped to keep Wallace thriving, and along with our festivals, we have a lot of festivals.
Yeah, you do, and including one coming up right away, don't you?
Yep, when this weekend, the jazz festival's happening at the same time as my opening of my show. But it's never really a problem. Like the festival doesn't really interfere at all with the play. People who go to the jazz festival, sometimes they come down and attend the play because it gets them out of the heat for a little while and gives them a different thing. So yeah, we have lots of stuff going on, and it never interferes with each other.
And then you have a lot of performances, what, Wednesday through Sunday for 4 weeks?
We do. And the tickets are only $10 a piece, so it's a really good price. I mean, people can afford to come over and come to the theater as a part of their trip to Wallace, with the entire town on the National Historic Register.
Cindy Bentley, who's directing Bad Business at the Brewery, or Who Botched Bessie's Brew. It opens tonight on the 5th of July and runs through the rest of the month. Thanks a lot for spending time with me, Cindy.
Well, thank you very much, and I hope to see you come to the show.
I look forward to it. We heard Cindy refer to Paul Roberts, who has a deep involvement with theater in the Silver Valley. So let's spend a little time with him and his perspective. Paul Roberts, I understand you're the drama teacher at Kellogg High School. Is that true?
Yes, that is correct. I've been there for about 8 years now.
And where did you come from before that?
Oh, I consider myself a Kellogg native. I went to high school here, and my wife and I had moved to southern Idaho and lived down there for a bit, but we've been back in this area since about 2000, so.
And what's your exact role or title with Sixth Street Theater?
I have been for the last several years the board president. We've got about 10 members on our board, and it's been quite the interesting connection for me as the drama teacher at the high school, and then to be able to do this, it gets me a chance to involve a lot of kids from Kellogg High School, and we've got Wallace High School kids that are involved as in addition to the community people too.
So does this make you kind of the de facto artistic director of Sixth Street Theater?
It does, yes. That's a good way to describe that. Sometimes in this summer I don't have any specific roles in either one of the plays that are going on, but it kind of turns me into producer, artistic director, all the questions that need to get answered get sent my way, and that's all right. That's a good thing. I enjoy that process.
I don't know if you have elevators in Wallace, but the famous elevator speech, when you have just a 30 seconds to tell somebody why a community needs a theater, what do you tell them?
Well, we like to say to the public that it's really our way of kind of showcasing some of the talent, giving those people that have the acting bug the chance to get up on stage. It does. One of our goals is to make sure that we also just help our community. We're really turning into a tourist community, and it's one more way that it brings a lot of people in. We get people from all over the United States and Canada. A lot of people come down from the north to see us, and it's a chance just to support the community.
Sixth Street Melodrama is the famous title under which you've been doing things for a long time, and we're talking with the directors of both the July and August melodramas elsewhere in this interview. Talk about what you are when it's not the tourist season. How do you define yourselves from September to May?
There are times when we almost change the title and simply call ourselves the Sixth Street Theater. We have a fall production that typically is either a published play by some, some of those titles that we've done are things that people would recognize. We've done a little bit of Shakespearean kind of stuff. We've done a little bit of more contemporary. With this coming spring, we're doing Leading Ladies by Ken Ludwig. But we also write some of the fall and spring shows that we do. There's always a one weekend Christmas show, our gift back to the community, kind of is what we call that. So we don't just go dark in the fall and spring, but we have a good time presenting those presentations to the rest of the public during the rest of the year.
And I understand that most of the melodramas, getting back to that, melodramas are written by you folks, aren't they?
Vast majority of them are, yes, and it's been really fun to work with. Most of those people that have written recently are on the board, and of course that was how we started 34 years ago with Cheryl Grounds, Pat Grounds, Don and Joan Springer doing a lot of the writing for us over the years.
So, in a way, in addition to simply producing plays and bringing them to the public and giving actors something to do, you're also almost a playwright's workshop, aren't you, there?
Yes, we really are. There have been a lot of people that the first time that they've had the opportunity to do that, and oftentimes what you end up getting is you become the playwright and then the director, and in some senses that the de facto producer, all of those things rolled into one, and it's a very fun opportunity for us.
So would it often happen that after somewhere between opening night and the following week, there's sometimes some quick and frantic rewriting to just the way a Broadway play is seasoned, out of town?
Yep, absolutely. That's always a part of what live theater experiences. So
nice. And so I assume that this really keeps a good artistic and community core going in Wallace, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh yes, very much so. There's a there's a large a group of people. I could list off the names of the 30 or 40 people that have been on the stage over the last 30 years, and every once in a while it's fun to kind of pull a show together that's almost a remembrance show of all of those people that have been a part of that.
And have some of, especially the kids that have grown up there and been involved, gone on to have lives in theater elsewhere?
We've got a couple of young men right now that we're awfully proud of that are in New York. One young man, Court Alfrey is his name, and he is For us, his claim to fame is being a costumer on Broadway, currently in the show The Lion King. Another young man that is that has finished a couple years of studying through American Musical Dance Academy in New York, and is making his way into that theater scene there and being successful at it. So that's kind of fun for us.
Nice. Paul Roberts, the president of the board of Sixth Street Theater and the drama teacher at Kellogg High School. Thanks a lot for spending time with me.
Thank you, Vern. Appreciate it.
Sixth Street Melodrama has two shows this summer. Earlier, we spent time with Cindy Bentley and Bad Business at the Brewery, who botched Bessie's Brew. But then there's an August show, which takes up the entire month of August. So let's go to that director, Brady Bogard. What's been in your involvement for how long and in what roles with Sixth Street Theater?
Been involved since 2013 was when my brother and I did our first show up there. We've written and directed two shows. This coming summer season will be our third show, and I've been on the board of directors since 2013 as well.
Did you recently move there, or did you just start getting close to the theater just recently?
No, I've been living here most of my life in this area. Grew up going to shows there at the theater, and my brother and I had always talked about doing a show there, and one day got just decided, hey, let's sit down and write something, and didn't think in a million years they'd let us do it, especially our first show up there was a Star Wars parody that we wrote, and thought, there's no way they'll let us do this, and they did, and we just had so much fun, we decided to keep going, do more.
Can you pretty much say that the formula, if there is one, for your melodramas is generally to do parody, to take something the audience knows and then do the Wallace version of it?
For us it is, although that's historically up there, they're a little more traditional. You know, there's a lot of tied to the tracks type things with, you know, the villain with the mustache and the black cape, and they do still perform melodramas that are real similar to that, but we wanted to do something a little bit different. So we typically kind of stick to that formula, but with a cast of characters, like you say, that's recognizable and that people can hopefully laugh at.
Well, speaking of recognizable, are you prepared to tell us the entire title of your August show?
I am. I better take a deep breath. the title is You Only Live and Let Die Another Day Twice, when the man with the golden gun and a license to kill shoots the living daylights out of the spy who loved me, or From Wallace with Love.
Very good. So you've seen your quote of James Bond movies in your life.
Sure, sure. Always been a big fan of the Bond movies. And my brother and I just thought, what better subject matter to be inspired by? For a melodrama, it's really the classic group of characters. You have the hero, and we kind of borrowed for this show from several different villains and kind of merged them all into one over the top character for the villain. So a lot of fun.
And then there is there the beautiful damsel to be saved?
Oh, well, of course, yes.
Or more than one?
Yes. There are more than one, although we only have one female lead. For the show as a young actress doing her first summer season, but then we also have another Bond girl that's a little less traditional. She's a cardboard cutout that plays the secretary. She doesn't say much, but she's very beautiful, and she's actually pretty heavily involved in the show as well.
How do you do on getting people to act in these? Do you have a pretty good group of people that come right forward to want to be into one of these shows?
Yeah, we do. My brother and I have been really lucky. We have family and friends who are into the who want to be involved. And most of the shows we've done, we typically have cast before we even get to an audition. This year, we did have a couple parts to cast, and we were very fortunate to find some great people to fill those roles. The July show, I think, needed a full cast, and we were able to cast that just through having a auditions, I think, with what I presume was mostly locals.
So talk about locals, talk about the theater community that I presume has grown up in Wallace over the decades of these summer shows.
Yeah, the theater's been there since 83. So a lot of people, I assume, like myself, my brother, grew up watching shows there. That was kind of just something that, you know, our family did in the summertime. We would go up to the theater and watch the melodrama and boo and hiss and cheer, and it's just a lot of fun. Great family shows up there. So we grew up doing that, and eventually wanted to participate in it and be a part of the fun. And I think that's what a lot of people that end up being in shows up there are, people that have come to shows and seen them and thought, boy, that looks like a great time. Mm-hmm. We typically just advertise. We're very small, so it's through, you know, Facebook and word of mouth and on our website. So we typically just get, like I say, locals that come and audition, and we've been really lucky to have great casts over the years.
So even though that's a month away, are you already underway with some rehearsals, or just kind of doing the organizing head?
We are right in the middle of a rehearsal schedule and getting the blocking down and working on set and props and costumes and flyers and that sort of thing. Yeah, always something to do. It seems like just about every day that we're not up there doing rehearsals, we're doing something else for the show to try to prepare. It's all because of you know, a love for the theater and a love for this little historic building in Wallace that we've all grown up with.
And your audience, are they mostly locals, or do you bring in people from far and wide?
It's certainly a mixture. There are certainly that group of locals who you can kind of count on being there every season. But we get people from all over the world coming on bus tours or just coming to visit Wallace, and they have no idea we're doing shows. And then they see, oh, there's live theater. And yeah, really all over the place, all over this country. And I've spoken with people from other countries that have come to the show. So it's a wide range.
And how many people does the theater hold?
It's a very small venue. There's about 80 seats, which is nice because there's not a bad seat in the theater. In fact, my favorite seats are the very back row.
Brady Bogard, who is directing the August show again with that wonderful fanciful title, "You Only Live and Let Die: Another Day Twice." When the man with the golden gun and a license to kill shoots the living daylights out of the spy who loved me, or From Wallace with Love. So that will be the August show. The normal formula for these is Wednesday through Sunday through for the entire month. So the first of these shows is opening tonight, but we'll get to that in a little bit when we get to the theater preview time.